Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for the power of your name, Lord. Hallelujah. That song says that God is fighting for us. We're not fighting our battles alone. We're certainly not fighting the battles of the Spirit alone. God is fighting for us. And we come armed with the power of His name. Would one more time you give praise to that name right now? That name that we run to in their safety. That name that is all powerful. That name that is most sovereign and most supreme. Jesus, we lift your name high today. We lift your name high today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful to know that name. I'm thankful to be baptized in that name. I'm thankful that baptism in that name washes away all of our sins. I'm thankful to be called by His name. We all have the same name here today applied to our lives, making us brothers and sisters. We got Brother Caleb Dean Jesus right there. We got Sister Kelly Hollis Jesus right there. We're called by His name. We're covered by His name. We're protected by His name. I'm thankful for that name this morning. And if you need anything, you call on that name. And He comes running. All of the forces of heaven, all of the power of heaven is attached to that name today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad to know that name this morning. I'm going to turn your attention to John chapter 14 as well as 2 Kings chapter 5. John 14, we'll read one verse there, verse 6, and we will read 6 verses in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to skip around in that chapter a little bit. Thankful to be able to bring the word of the Lord this morning and feel something that's been on my heart for a while. Not necessarily in this sermon format, but there's the themes of this sermon have been just percolating in my spirit for weeks. So from John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, the disciples whom he was talking to, I believe it was Philip here, I am the way, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. We got to go through Jesus. Got to go through Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Skip to verses 9 and 10, and then skip to verse 14. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master, the leper, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Verse 9, then Naaman went with horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent messengers to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Verse 14, so he went down and dipped 7 times. Now don't, because I skipped the part where he like argues about that, don't think that he just immediately went. He was like, surely this man knows who I am. Surely there's much better waters than this Jordan, muddy Jordan River. I skipped that part, but there was a little bit of fighting that happened. So Naaman went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The leper from verse 1 is now in verse 14, the clean soldier. What was the connection? What is it that caused the change between the leper of verse 1 and the clean soldier in verse 14? It was the little maid that made a connection. She became a bridge from what was the point of his greatest need. She made a connection. She was the bridge that overcame that separation, that sickness, that disease, and connected him to the man of God who could perform miracles by the power of God. So today I want to preach to us, be the bridge. Be the bridge. We're being the church this year, and part of being the church is being the bridge. Being the bridge that connects somebody from the point of their greatest need to the one who can help them, who can problem solve, who can heal them, who can save them. We get to be the bridge. Would you lift your voice right now and just ask that the Lord would speak and call and affirm some things in this room today? God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're already doing. I thank you for the call that has already been established here today. Lord, you are drawing hearts already. You've done it before 9 a.m. this morning. You've been doing it for weeks. You've been speaking into spirits and compelling hearts and compelling action from each of us. And today we're going to be sensitive to you and we are going to respond. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. What is a bridge? Well, in 605, craftsman Lee Chun completed construction on what is now the oldest standing bridge in China. Not yet, picture. Thank you, though. You're on it, and thank you. The oldest standing bridge in China, it's actually called the Anji Bridge, A-N-J-I. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. I didn't get my degree in Mandarin. It's called, well, for sake of me having the microphone, Anji Bridge. Its name literally means safe crossing, which is what it provided for those merchants when it was built in 605. It provided access for merchants to be able to trade. It provided access to another part of the city that had previously been cut off because of the tributary that ran through that city. It means safe crossing. A bridge is and should be a safe crossing. Because a bridge is a structure built to span a physical obstacle, such as a body of water or a valley or a road even, without closing the way underneath. It provides a passage over the obstacle. It's constructed entirely for this purpose. The obstacle is usually something that is otherwise difficult or impossible to cross. A bridge carries a pathway over a depression or obstacle. A bridge is a means of connection. Bridges are all about connection. Did anybody drive over a bridge to get here this morning? If you came from Illinois, hopefully you did. You didn't paddle or have to take a ferry. I don't even think we have ferries because we have so many bridges. Bridges are all about connecting. They connect counties, such as the Page Extension Bridge, which connects St. Louis and St. Charles County, or the Daniel Boone Bridge that I have the privilege of driving over every day. Bridges connect cities, such as the Bay Bridge in California, uniting San Francisco with Oakland. Bridges connect states, such as our very own Jefferson Barracks Bridge, the Poplar Street Bridge, Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge, the Eads Bridge, the McKinley Bridge, the MacArthur Bridges. All of those bridges are downtown, except for the Jefferson Barracks one. Bridges give us access. They provide a means of connecting one place to another. And a bridge is firmly cemented on one side, stretching over the separation, the obstacle, the chasm, or the canyon, and firmly cemented on the other side. There's two places where this bridge is securely connected, on one side of the obstacle and then again on the other. And bridges give us access. In my study for this message, I researched the number of active bridges in St. Louis County. I found that St. Louis County has roughly 55 bridges. I was impressed too, Caleb. 55. Wow. That's quite a few. Doesn't even count all of the overpasses for highways. Particularly, these bridges are ones that the railroad uses or span over a body of water. Even as small as the Gravois Creek, that bridge was on there, right over at Green Park and Revis. That one was on the list. 55 bridges in St. Louis. The oldest of these is the Eads Bridge downtown, 147 years. 1874 it was built. The youngest was built in 2014, the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge. St. Louis has 55 bridges. And I would just pose this question to you this morning. What if St. Louis had no bridges? Some of you wouldn't be here because you had to cross a bridge to get here. You've already raised your hand. Our commutes wouldn't be as nearly as convenient as they currently are, and our APC family that lives in Illinois would require that ferry to cross the Mississippi River, and for some of us, a commute to work would require a ferry, and that's just too complicated. But in the same way that natural bridges are put in place to connect a path over a depression or an obstacle, usually something difficult or impossible to cross, there are spiritual bridges that are built for the same purpose. As natural bridges are about connection, so are spiritual bridges. We live in a world that is tainted by sin and the effects of the fall of the Garden of Eden. Numerous chasms and obstacles present themselves along our journey of life. Sin, storms, struggles, sicknesses, despair, fear and anxiety, grief and addiction, emotional trauma. They all separate us from and become obstacles, and we all encounter them. We all encounter them. But I'm thankful today to be able to stand here to remind you that we serve the great bridge builder. He doesn't leave us without hope, floundering in desperation on one side of an expanse that's too wide for us to cross on our own. No, he's a God of connection, and he has made a way when there seems to be no way. He is the great bridge builder this morning. In the Old Testament, we see bridges like Moses. Moses was a bridge that God provided to the people of Israel. They were in Egypt. And there was slavery that was happening. And so they needed a bridge out of Egypt. And God said, all right, I'm going to send my servant Moses, and he's going to be the bridge. He's going to be the one that acts in place for you. He's going to intercede for you to the Pharaoh, and you're going to come out of Egypt. They needed a bridge. And so God provided Moses. And then the law was established, and in order for humanity to be able to come before God and to present themselves and to be cleansed of their sins, there was a sacrificial system which necessitated priests, and priests became bridges. They bridged the gap between humanity and divinity, and this sacrificial system bridged the gap between where humanity was and where God is. And then there were the prophets. They also could be considered bridges. And I'm not listing all of them from the Old Testament. You have Esther and you have Ruth and you have David and hundreds of others that we read about. But the prophets were also, they spoke for the word of the Lord. There was a gap. There was this time of exile and there was this time of disobedience in the life of Israel. And they needed a connection from where they were to where God wanted them to be and who he had in mind for them to be. And thankfully, we serve a God who is a great bridge builder. And he does not leave us in the predicament that he finds us in, but he can put a bridge in place that can take us from a sickness to a healing. He can put a bridge in place that can take us to our lack of need to the provision that we absolutely need. He can take us from the place where there's a family struggle and there's a rift, and he can build a bridge of healing to where there is now wholeness and where there is now completeness. That's the bridge builder that we serve. He doesn't leave us in that place. And probably, not probably, the absolute greatest canyon and chasm that has been in our life is that created by sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God." There is a separation when we sin. There is a separation between us and God. But John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." That's an exclusive statement right there. But I hear a bridge when I read that. That there's a bridge between the sin that is separating where you are right now, the sin that's separating you. There's a bridge that can be built. There's a bridge that's already died on a cross. He shed his blood for our sins, bridging the gap between who we used to be and who we are now. Can we thank him for that today? If you're thankful that chasm was bridged, why don't you give him praise today? God, I thank you. I thank you today, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You don't leave us in our sin, but you provided a way. You provided a way as we journey this path of life and we encounter that deepest and widest canyon of all, which is sin. The verse tells us that the way to salvation is through the bridge called Jesus. He's provided safe passage across an otherwise impossible obstacle. Just try to cure your sin on your own. You can't do it. We can't manage our sin. We need a bridge that connects us from where we are to where God wants us to be through faith, through repentance, through water baptism in Jesus' name, through the infilling of his Spirit. We can pass from death to life. We can pass from hopeless to hopeful. We can pass from lost to found, from bound to free. Jesus is the bridge to connect you to what you need from him. And let me say, he builds the bridge right where you are. We would say it this way probably. You don't have to get good to get God. That bridge that he's going to construct is going to come right to where you are. You don't have to hide in your sin the way Adam and Eve did. He proved right there, I'm going to build a bridge. I'll come right to where sin is. I'm not afraid of it. He's not afraid of our chaos and of our dirt and of the things that we mess up in. No, he comes right to where we are. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody in here today, but maybe I'm preaching to somebody watching us online, not yet filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to build a bridge to right where you are. Jesus is that bridge that connects. And so whatever cliff edge you find yourself at today, Jesus provides a bridge of safety. If you're at a canyon of addiction, Jesus is the connection to deliverance. If you've hit an obstacle of disease, Jesus is the bridge of healing. Maybe you find yourself on the banks of a raging river of confusion and frustration, but Jesus is the bridge that connects you to peace and to a sound mind. If you're at the cliff's edge overlooking a deep valley of sin, poor choices, and things you wish you could erase that are now obstacles in your path, the Jesus bridge connects you to salvation and restoration. And there's no canyon so wide that God can't reach you. There's no person so far that God cannot build a bridge to get to them. The person that you're praying for, keep praying. Those prayers are building a bridge of connection to that individual, and there's nobody too far. There's nobody too far. God can find them, and he can put a bridge in their path. No circumstance of your life makes it impossible for God to build a bridge, because Jesus has made a way. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us," or let me say it this way, "reconnected us to himself through Jesus Christ." We've been reconnected by that Jesus bridge. Through Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? Well, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which is the plan of salvation. It is the gospel. Our repentance, our baptism in Jesus' name, and that resurrection, that living, coming out and walking in the newness of life. That is the bridge that Jesus built. And Paul said, we have been reconnected through that Jesus bridge. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, because of that, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are bridges for Jesus Christ. Because he built a bridge to us, now we build a bridge to someone else. You didn't get here on your own. You got here because somebody built a bridge to you. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your first disciple maker who gave you a Bible study, but you didn't get here on your own. They helped to build a bridge to you, and now we build a bridge to somebody else. We're ambassadors of Christ. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians, the last part of chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors, we are bridges for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, everybody that we come in contact with, we implore you, walk across this bridge and be connected to Jesus Christ. Be reconnected to the God who made you and the God who loves you and the God who has a purpose for your life. We implore you, be connected to Jesus. That's our responsibility. God does that through us. He does it through you. And how does he do it? He does it through the relationships and the connections that you already have. This isn't an impossible task. It's not an impossible ask this morning. He'll do it through the relationships that you already have. Because remember, a bridge is cemented. It is securely connected in two places. First of all, our bridge is connected to God. We are securely connected to him because we've walked across the bridge and we've experienced salvation or we've walked through some storms and we've found out that God is faithful. We crossed that bridge and now I'm securely connected because I know God loves me and he has a purpose for me and he's going to take care of me. I'm securely connected to God. So in my relationships, when there is someone that is in need or there is someone that is facing a fearful situation or they need salvation, I'm not only securely connected to God, I'm also securely connected to them as well. Because there's at least two feet of a bridge. I've got to be securely connected to God, but I've got to be securely connected to others as well. My relationships with people, not in this room, and in this room, but for the purpose of the message, those not in this room are important. They are necessary. And maybe that's your coworkers. Maybe that's your unsaved family. Maybe it's an unsaved husband or wife that does not attend with you. Securely connected to God and securely connect, investing in those relationships. And relationships take time and they take work. Bridges do. Most of the bridges that I read about, I think the quickest one was built in 3 years. Y'all, that's a long time. Connections take time, but they're worthy of the investment. I don't know how long it took to build the JB Bridge, but boy, am I glad they took the time to do so. I went to school in DuPo. I can't even imagine my commute. If every day I had to get in a little canoe, paddle across, I would, yeah, my parents wouldn't have took me to school. They walked uphill both ways in the snow. I canoed the Mississippi. Oh, sorry. Connections take time. And all I'm saying here is, invest in those relationships. Invest in those connections because you never know. You never know. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what you're going to have to do to secure that connection. I don't know what you're going to have to do to make that connection more secure in your relationship with that individual. But whatever it is, take the time, make the sacrifice, because we're called to be bridges for Christ, and bridges take time. We are employed in God's work of reconciliation when we are the bridge. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we like to quote it as Pentecostals, and I hope we never hate it. But he says, I read this in a different way this week as I was studying, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." I changed it. "You shall be bridges to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." We don't build bridges in our own power. We build bridges empowered by the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Ghost. And He gives us the wisdom to know how to secure this relationship, how to secure this connection. He gives us the wisdom to know how to help them across that bridge until they find Jesus as their Savior, until they find Him as the solution to the problem that they are facing. "You're going to be bridges for me," he said. Just like the little maid in the story of Naaman. Naaman and his wife, the Syrian king, Naaman's servants, and the prophet Elisha himself all felt the impact of a little maid who did what she could to connect a need to the answer. She was a slave, but she was a believer. She was a young maid, but she was a bridge. Being a bridge doesn't require years of experience. It doesn't require a certain type of personality or a particular level of status or wealth. It simply requires surrender and faith. To take action based on this, what I've seen God do for me and for others, I know He can do for you. That's the motive when we build a bridge, saying, God did this for me. He built a bridge to me to connect me to him. And now I'm going to build a bridge to you because I know God can do it in your life. And there's nothing impossible in the lives of the people that you have influence with. There's nothing impossible that God cannot build a bridge to get from him to them. We don't even know her name. This bridge has no name. But she was fully committed to the Lord and she believed wholeheartedly in his power, and we must be as well. Fully committed to that work of reconciliation, to that being a bridge. And not just being fully committed to that, but believing wholeheartedly in the power of Jesus Christ to meet the need in whatever chasm you're building a bridge. This little maid in the story of Naaman gives us all kinds of hints of how to be the bridge. One thing she did was she expressed her faith as her mistress expressed her anxiety over her husband's leprosy. Now, we don't read that in the story, but I can just imagine that the wife of Naaman was perplexed over his situation, that she was fretting over the fact that her husband was a leper and there was no known cure at the time for this disease. But when that little maid heard those worries, heard those fears and anxieties, she did what we can do. She then expressed faith as her friend expressed fear. So when we get in a room with coworkers or with neighbors or maybe even complete strangers and they begin expressing anxiety over a problem that they are dealing with, we can express our faith in God and build a bridge. We can connect them to his power, his sovereignty, his friendship, his love, and his peace. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, when it was built, San Francisco was not the growing, vital city that we know today. By connecting San Francisco to the other Bay communities, the bridge changed everything. Industry, economy, tourism, and more practical transportation routes. A bridge changes everything. Your connection to other people's lives can change everything. Your relationships with others can connect them with what they need the most. Many experts believe that the Golden Gate Bridge could not be built because of extreme wind and fog, but engineers were able to overcome these barriers, setting an example for future construction in other so-called impossible-to-build locations. You may assume today that you can't be the bridge that connects people to God's plan and his purpose for their lives, because there's turmoil in your own, or there's struggles and storms in your own life. But even though it may seem impossible with God, nothing is impossible. Don't believe the lie of your flesh or the lie of the devil that because of extreme wind and fog in your life, that you can't be used by God to help others connect to him. As we surrender and we take that step of faith that Brother Linder talked to us about, we can overcome those barriers and we can be the bridge even in impossible to build scenarios. The Roebling Suspension Bridge is in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was the prototype for the picture on the right, the Brooklyn Bridge. The Roebling was basically a practice bridge for the Brooklyn Bridge. Without the Roebling, the Brooklyn would likely never have happened. It gave the designers and engineers the opportunity to learn about suspension bridge construction in a less challenging area than New York's East River. Without the Roebling Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge would not exist. And as of 2018, the Brooklyn Bridge provides connection for an average of over 116,000 vehicles, 30,000 pedestrians, and 3,000 cyclists each day. The Roebling influenced the building of the Brooklyn. And my point with this is you never know whose life will be impacted because you provided a connection for someone. Brother Marvin Walker decided to be the bridge after he met a 13-year-old kid in Southern Illinois. He made a connection, and he invited him to church. The 13-year-old came, but Brother Walker's bridge didn't end there. He had connected him to the church, but then he invited the boy to the altar. He bridged the gap between attending and participating. He brought the 13-year-old to the altar, and God filled that little boy with the Holy Ghost. And now 54 years later, that once 13-year-old boy is the global missions director of the United Pentecostal Church, Brother Bruce Howell. Because of the Marvin Walker Bridge, the Bruce Howell Bridge exists, connecting hundreds and thousands around the world to the gospel. You just don't know what that bridge you build may bring. You just can't even imagine what influence you have with an individual can be multiplied to others. Don't undervalue the connections that you are making. You don't know what God might do when you offer yourself and decide to be the bridge. Securely connected to God, but securely connected to others. I've found in my life, I don't have so much problem with this side of the bridge, with this secure connection. I'm connected to God. I try to pray every day and be in His Word every day and spend time with Him and be faithful to His house. And I've fortified this side of the bridge pretty good. But where I fail, and maybe you're like me, I don't do so good on this side. Whether it's my own fear or insecurity or my distractions, sometimes I'm not too good at being the bridge. But I tell you what's been happening over the last year or so is that God has been drawing me and compelling me, and I have felt it in this church over the last several months that God is drawing us. He is compelling us to secure some connections with our neighbors or with our coworkers. I wonder if you would just find a place to pray right now. You can turn and kneel in your seat, or this altar is open. Please honor social distancing, or you can stand or pace in an aisle, but can we pray about our connections to others? God, help us to be the bridge that someone can cross to receive the salvation that they need. Help us, God. Help us, God.
Kindness of the Savior.
To be the bridge. God, I'm going to me the bridge. You're going to give me the help that I need. Lay some soul upon my heart, God. Love that soul through me. If I'm able to do my part and be the bridge, I'll win that soul to you. I'll connect him to you. See with compassion, to see with mercy, oh God, to see with your grace and your love, Lord.
Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of death.
They need the hope that you have. They need the help that you've received. Just be the bridge. Just connect him to the one who can help him. You don't have to be their savior. You don't have to have all the answers. You can connect them to the one that does.
Helped us through his word and then through your time of prayer. I know as you were sensitive to what God wanted, he may have directed you to somebody or brought back to your mind somebody that you have already started that bridge. That point just really resonated about the time it takes to build a bridge. And I wrote down, don't be discouraged and don't give up. Keep pouring the concrete, putting in the framework, doing what needs to be done. And we would all like to see as immediate salvation results as possible. But it does take times of intercessory prayer, connection. In fact, next Saturday, that prayer event, that's a chance to be a bridge. I want to encourage as many of you as would. We're just going to meet right here at 9. It'll just be about an hour and a half worth. And we're either going to walk or ride in this neighborhood and just cover it with prayer, praying for lives and trying to connect this vicinity along with, as I said earlier, I was just thrilled when we received the report that over 300 churches have connected to this event and are going to be all over the St. Louis community. So I hope every street and every block gets covered. It may or it may not, but at least we can do our part. So we're a bridge. Parents, you're a bridge for your parent, for your children. And they're a bridge to somebody else. And so let the Lord continue to deal with you and speak through you and to you about that bridge that you are building. Thank you, Amber, for the word of the Lord. And I want to say, God bless you for your faithfulness. And those of you who have joined us online, we are thankful that you have joined us.